Welcome to Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Ella. Our special guest today is Chuck Graves, director of the G. Frank Russell Career Center. Live from Sharp Fast's Gallery, here's your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are over here at Sharp Fast's Gallery. It is always my pleasure to have Chuck Graves here with us. He is the he's in charge over there at the G. Frank Russell Career Center. And, Chuck, how are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing fine, Ann, and I thank you for having me again.
Well, you know, I just think it's so important that we talk about all aspects of education, and what you do over there is an amazing job. I mean, I came over there, I toured it, I was amazed, and I think a lot of people probably don't have a lot of idea about what's there.
You're exactly right. As a matter of fact, a week or two doesn't go by that somebody doesn't pass by or stop in and say, hey, what do you do here? If this is a program for adults, is it for kids? I'm unemployed. I'd like to learn something about what's going on here.
So, and you've just come through, actually, February, tremendous month.
February is the National Career and Technology Education Month. And so we celebrated that the month long, kicked it off with a proclamation by the mayor here, and Senator Nicholson showed up for the signing of the proclamation and just kicked it off into tours for the county schools and just did a wonderful job. We really did.
Now, is this the first time you've actually had a pretty big celebration? I think you even told me you fed people out there.
Oh, we did. As a matter of fact, this was the biggest. We've been doing it ever since I've been there for 7 years, but I told them this time we really wanted to get on board and make it big. And speaking of feeding people, what we did, we invited county council along with all three school district superintendents in Greenwood County, that's 50, 51, and 52, which is what we serve, and also we invited the board of trustees from all those areas and some special invited guests. We invited my past assistant, Miss Kay Smith, along with Mr. Russell himself. So he came over and was a part of that luncheon, and we had a great time. We really did, and that was kind of the culminating activity.
Well, now, what did Mr. Russell think of where you've taken the G. Frank Russell Center?
Oh, he just comes in smiling, and I just tell him I want to do him proud. Anybody that has a name on the building, you want to invite them to come back every once in a while, shake their hand, put a little food in their mouth, and he just smiles and beams every time we talk about it.
Well, you know, you have such a great program over there. It's so good to get the word out. You have, just recently, you gave a speech out at the Genesis Center.
I did.
And you were talking about it wasn't actually the speech you were going to give.
No, it was not. And what I did is when I got there, I realized one of my former teachers invited me to come. They were celebrating the Black History Month. But when I got there, I realized the population there, and as I looked into the kids' eyes, that wasn't exactly what they needed. I know a lot of, I'm a history major. But I went away from my notes completely, left them on the podium, and I stepped out and started talking about the importance of the value of education and the mission that these young people ought to be on to get an education.
How was it received?
Very well. As a matter of fact, I started off with a little motivational poem, and they were just spellbound. And as a matter of fact, a parent saw me later on and said, listen, that was great. And I said, you know, I felt like for a while there, getting away. He said, I noticed you didn't use your notes at all. I said, no, what I had on the cards was much about the historical perspective of Carter G. Woodson, Martin Luther King, and those kinds of people. I said, but what I had in my heart was much more relevant to what those young people needed. They needed to be energized. They needed to be inspired. And they needed to know that, hey, we have a mission here to help you be successful. But the key part of that is the person that's sitting in those chairs right now. So I just gave them an inspirational message. I really did.
Well, it's the inspirational message that I think sometimes is missing in education, don't you?
I agree wholeheartedly. You know, we often talk about courageous leadership in our school district, but I always remind people that, hey, while we're being courageous in the decisions that we have to make on a daily basis, we also need to be inspirational. That is, fire up our faculties, our staffs, and everybody from the custodian to everybody that works with young people so that they can serve as a role model and help young people to get that fire in their belly for wanting to succeed in life. That's what it's about.
Well, I think that's true, Chuck, but, you know, it's so hard because we have a lot of unmotivated.
We do. As a matter of fact, and there's too many. My mother, for example, used various methods to get me motivated. Some would probably be described in this day and age as child abuse, but I'm so grateful.
Taking that hand to the butt there.
Oh, without a doubt, she didn't have a chance. to finish high school. You know, I think she dropped out in 11th grade, grew up on a farm. And when they moved north with the large migration of people moving for better jobs, she said, one thing I want to make sure you and your sister and your brother gets is an education, because she knew the value of it. And I'm just wondering now how many of our parents, of those under-motivated students, don't really understand the value of what an education can really do for you.
You know, I think, don't you think in some aspects we suffer from the fact that Greenwood was pretty lucky because we had Greenwood Mills. We had a lot of jobs where somebody could go directly from high school and go to work. Okay. We don't have those type of jobs today, but I think people still, mentality-wise, think that that is that it's not that important.
And you're exactly right. And, you know, there's a section in our handbook. We always remind young people that if you can get some basic skills for the workplace, we have a work ethic program, for example, and we're teaching a lot of soft skills. But they think that the days of walking into a plant, putting an application in, and making $20,000, $30,000 are over. I mean, you have to have a trained a skill that you can bring to the table to say, hey, I'm qualified, I can do this. And that pretty much what I said over there to the young people over at Genesis, that people are just not looking for people just to sweep a floor. You know, they want somebody that can be productive, work on a team, somebody can think outside the box, and somebody that's a self-starter and a role model for other workers.
That's right. Hey, you know, this is part of what we're going to be talking about today, folks. We're going to be talking about, number one, how valid the program that they offer over there at G. Frank Russell Career Center, how it helps get students motivated and be able to experience some different types of aspects of education. You know, not everybody is going to go to college.
That's true.
And so, but there are so many good opportunities, even if you're not going to college.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. You're exactly right. And that's where we come in. Even if you're going to a four-year school, there's some things that you're going to need to know and be able to do to get you where you need to go. Chances are, you're not going to go on a full-ride scholarship, so you're going to work somewhere. So why not get the skills you need now in high school with the youth apprenticeship programs and some of the other things that we're doing, and they have a leg up on that crowd that's out there that's not doing anything.
And the other thing it's a good program for, it's the Bridges program. Don't we go? Can't we go directly, the G. Frank Russell, right into programs at Piedmont Tech?
Without a doubt. That's a wonderful agreement that we have. As a matter of fact, later on next month, we're talking about some more expanding that program a little bit, so I'm excited about that also.
So these are some of the things we're going to be talking about. You know, if you've got a question, all you have to do is give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We are here. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsors. So don't you go away. Ready to
race to you. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery. Monday, happy day.
You're with us at Meet Me at the Diner, your host, Ann Ellis. Our special guest today is Chuck Graves with the G. Frank Russell Career Center. Here is your host, Ann Ellis.
Oh, that's right. We are back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. I have one of my favorite motivational people right here sitting across from me. It is Chuck Graves. He is in charge over there at the G. Frank Russell Career Center. And, you know, they do make a difference over there. I know you have. I know you work with students. I know that you're in the halls, and you catch them every once in a while, just kind of sitting there not doing their job, right?
That's exactly right, Ann. And every time I catch one not doing what they need to be, what needs to be done, I try to make sure I motivate them in some type of way with a little personal story. Even my morning announcements, I always end it with a thought for the day, which is usually something motivational to keep them going, and it makes a difference.
It does. And, you know, I think one of the things that I think that I always enjoy hearing is the student who thinks he's going to go on to become a professional athlete.
Oh. Now, that's a pet peeve of mine.
And I know you actually wanted to be a professional athlete. And, and I think that's a dream of most guys, isn't it?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful dream, but it's not reality. And, you know, just recently I was telling the story about a young man that was in the office just a week ago. And he was sitting there and wasn't acting correctly in his computer class. And I said, son, what's your goal? He says, well, I want to go to college. So So, what grade are you? He said, 10th grade. I said, where are you going to go? I don't know. I said, well, what are you going to do when you get there? I don't know. Play basketball. I said, really? I said, okay, then what? He said, what do you mean? I said, after that. Because the average athletes, I mean, even if you're good without injury or whatever, I guess in the NFL it's probably 3.5 years and probably the same thing in the NBA or so. And I said, you look like you're about 5'7". You may weigh 140 pounds or so or whatever. Are you on the basketball team right now? He said, I am. I said, well, look at your grades here. You're not failing. You're not passing English, not doing so well in science. I said, son, you really think somebody's going to waste a scholarship on you? I said, I doubt it. I said, you need to rethink this a little bit because I think, first of all, I think your behavior is holding you back. If you are playing and you say you are, I said, but I don't think these schools are looking for 5'7" guards who having trouble passing some of the classes to waste a scholarship on. So let's rethink that and let's talk about what you really can do to make yourself successful and productive in society.
How'd that work?
Well, pretty good. As a matter of fact, I tell you what I did. And I always tell him this. I said, now, in about a week or two, I'm going to follow back up with you. So this is the week I'll go back to him. I notice he hasn't been in the office for any problems, and his attendance has been good. So now I'll follow back up and say, well, how's it going now? Well, let's look at your rates again. And then interim time, I'll follow back up with him. I'll call his guidance counselor. We do a lot of follow-up like that just to show him that we're concerned about the total young person, not just the athletes.
You know, I think that's great. You know, we talk about parents and their involvement. I had Dr. Joe Patton on, and, of course, we were supposed to be talking a lot about Head Start. We talked a lot about his musical career and a lot of other things. You know, he's a great talker. But one of the things we did talk about was back in the 60s when they started the Head Start plan, and, of course, that was supposed to be the beginning of the Great Society.
Right.
And we started taking kids out of their environment and trying to bring them up to speed when they went into school. Now Head Start concentrates on working in the home with the parents and trying to incorporate the whole picture. And I asked him, I said, you know, Dr. Joe, what would have happened if we'd had this program in place like this back in the 60s when we started it? He said, Ann, we'd be light years ahead.
How about that?
And, you know, I know you're seeing the same thing because parent involvement kind of went down, didn't it?
Oh, without a doubt, Ann. As a matter of fact, we dedicated ourselves the last year or two to increasing parental involvement as our goal for the whole school. And we just came up with different ideas of what we could do just to get parents out and about. Speaking back in terms of what we did for Career and Technology Education Month, one of those nights we had an open house, actually, and we sent out 1,600 postcards.
Wow.
To every parent, not just the current parents of our students, but even the students that visited as eighth graders, and we had a great turnout. We really did, but now it wasn't 1,600 strong.
Sure.
So of that, you know, you're talking about a couple hundred maybe. But again, we feel like if we can do something just to get them in the door, maybe that will spur an interest not just in them, but also to get behind their children, to push them. Just take them to the edge and say, hey, there's something out there for you. We're going to push you to be successful. And that's what it's going to take.
Now, how is that working, though, Chuck? You know, you've been there, you've watched this. You were also principal over at Emerald.
Emerald, I was.
Right.
And the old South Side. I was
right.
Principal over there. Well, Ann, I see an increase on the side of they talk a good game, but now showing up and doing their part is maybe, well, you know, I got to work or I got to do this. I said, ma'am, listen, I'll come on the weekends if I need to. I'll come early. I'll stay late. Whatever. Because my philosophy about this is, that I don't want to leave any stone unturned. By any means necessary, we want you to be a part of your child's education. That's the only way your child's going to be successful. It really is.
Well, is it working, Chuck? Are you seeing that inroads are being made? Or is there still so much resistance that sometimes even you get frustrated
by it? I do, and I really have to do a lot of reading and a lot of little inspirational messages to myself a lot because, you know, you can really get down on yourself and what you're doing. Sometimes you don't feel like you're helping anybody, and then a ray of hope will come. You'll get a little note or a little inspirational something from a student or whatever, or you'll look back and say, wow, I sure helped that one. As a matter of fact, Dan, on my brochure, for this school year, last year's theme was Champions Under Construction. The young man that's on the front of that brochure, if you'd have told me a couple of years ago, when he was about a 10th grader, I tell you what, I didn't think he was going to make it through high school. His behavior was poor. He didn't have any sense of direction or whatever, but we messed around and got him involved in one of the programs called Machine Tool. I'll tell you what he did. He went to a state championship. He came back. He said, Mr. Graves, he says, I learned something. I said, what's that? He said, I'm going to be a state champion. I said, what do you mean, Blake? You're barely working to get out of school. He said, no, Mr. Graves, I think I found my niche here. He messed around and went back to that competition. He said, Mr. Graves, you got your money ready? I said, what's that? He said, I'm going to go to Kansas City. That's where the national competition is held. And he went and competed with all the schools in the state right there in Greenville last year and won the state championship and went on to Kansas City. I'd never forget the look on his face when he came back that day. He said, Ms. Graves, you got your money ready? I said, how'd you finish? He said, I finished state champion. I said, okay then. Got the money ready, flew he and his teacher out to the national competition. He finished about 19th in the country. Now, isn't that wonderful?
That gives me chills.
What a success story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got his parents there for the awards program. You see, I put him on the brochure, and he's just kind of a poster child for us. And then, really, our best recruiters are our students. They really go out there, and some of them, man, believe it or not, they don't want to leave the school once they get involved in something. They'll come two or three periods. Now, I made it so that I didn't want to eliminate the chance for some other students to come. So I said, well, listen, you could only come a third period with the director's permission and kids that are really involved, because some of the programs are double blocked.
Sure.
And so that's spending all their time. If we would allow some of them, man, they wouldn't go back to their home school at all. They like it out there that well, and that's a testament to the teachers and what they're doing in the classroom every day.
It does. Now, just speaking about this, it just gives me chills thinking about it. You actually are able. Now, what is he doing now?
Okay, believe it or not, he was picked up at Eaton. They're paying his way to school. He has a full-time job, and he comes by about once every two or three weeks to thank us for what we did to inspire him. Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful. You know, and this is the type of success stories we need to hear on More Than One.
Without a doubt.
You know, we need to have more students engaged. And, you know, part of the thing is keeping them. In today's world, it's different teaching than it was 10 or 15 years ago, isn't it? That's part of the problem.
Totally. It has to be. Hands-on, fully engagement. You know, you just can't stand up and lecture for 90 minutes or 70 minutes or whatever it is. You got to get students involved. And I always describe the Career Center as a hands-on experience. And that's what it is. It's a hands-on experience in a student-centered environment. That just flows,
sure,
because that's what we really believe. And that's not written on some paper anywhere, Ann.
Mm-hmm.
That's in my heart, because that's what I truly believe about helping young people at that Career Center and anywhere I've been, for that matter.
Now, if somebody wanted to come by and take a tour of the school, that's not a problem, is it?
Not a problem whatsoever. Just come in the front door. Let us know you're there. We'll give you a visitor's pass, and I will furnish your tour guide. We have some ladies that are in office situations where I can just free them up, and you're welcome to have a tour.
It is a program that can definitely help a young person find their way. It is part of what's available if they're in a student at Greenwood, Ware Shoals 96.
And Emerald. Right.
And they also provide transportation. Don't they have to provide transportation?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, most of the students ride the bus. And we have students that have permission to drive, but it's a great opportunity for young people. It really is.
Now, where is this center? Where is it located?
Well, we're right down from Greenwood High School, 601 East Northside Drive, and our number is 941-5750. And we're there every morning from 7:30, and we don't leave till about 4:30. And we'll come early and stay late if we need to.
Well, you know, you certainly, I know when I've been over there, everybody that's there is energized. And that's a tough job in today's world, to keep teachers and students energized, I do believe.
It really is. And I work hard at that, Ann, because I want to be the type of leader who leads by example. I won't ask them to do anything that I wouldn't do. But the most important thing I ask them to bring to the table is the love for children. If you have that love for children, I can spark that energy in you. I always laugh about lighting a fire. It's like lighting a fire. And every once in a while, I'll buy some food or tell a motivational story. So I'm throwing logs on the fire to keep it burning.
Well, you do an excellent, excellent job. You have a lot of programs out there. I am amazed at how many. We just talked about the machine tool technology program. You also, of course, have the cars, working on cars.
Yes, auto collision and auto repair. Auto collision repair, but we also have what they call now is transportation and logistics. but actually it's the technical part where you're actually getting on doing tune-ups and that those kinds of things.
And, you know, today a car has to be worked on with a computer.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Going out under a tree and working on a car doesn't happen anymore.
It's over. Those days are over, and as a matter of fact, I just had a young man come tell me the other day, Miss Grace, he says, I just paid $500-something because one computer chip went bad in my Chrysler. And I said, listen, son, those days, well, first of all, he spent $300 or $400 on top of that because he took it to somebody who didn't know what they were doing. So, you know, and we're trying to make sure that we have the latest equipment out there also to help young people get the skills they need. So if they want to end up at Ballantyne or one of these Nissan or one of these local businesses, they can. And that's the value of having the youth apprenticeship and the work-based credit program, really is, so they can go right from school into work. Exactly.
That's invaluable in today's world. Hey, we're going to hear South Carolina news, a word from our sponsors. We are here with Chuck Graves. He's got me motivated and going here. Don't you go away. If you've got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
What does WLMA stand for? Well, it stands for Wow, Let's Meet Again, right here on 1350 AM, Greenwood and the Lakelands News Talk radio station.
Welcome back to Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Ella. Our special guest is Chuck Graves, the director of the G. Frank Russell Center. Here is your host, Ann Anner.
That's right, Andy. We are back here, and we're talking about what is going on over there at the G. Frank Russell Career Center. You know, kids come and go out of there. You see success stories. You see kids maybe that never thought about doing something. But why do they come? Why do they come there, Chuck?
I think the main reason they come, number one, it's a sense of freedom to be able to leave your home school and to come. And then a lot of them just have an interest. Let me do something a little bit different. Maybe I'm really not going to a four-year school right away. And I'm searching, want to find myself a little bit. And maybe I like nursing, or I may like to build things or whatever. So let me just try it. And so I think that's one of the reasons. Hopefully, the counselors are having some up-close and personal conversation with these young people, looking at those IGPs and saying, hey, you know, based on your interest inventory, you need to be over there learning some basic skills in the workplace. That's what I hope.
Well, you know, I think, you know, there's a big push for education and everything, but not everybody is college material.
They're not.
You know, and I mean, that may offend some people, but not everybody is going to go to college. A lot of kids aren't going to be able to get the financing that they need to be able to go to college, and yet they can find good careers. And the one thing we are always going to need is people to fix things.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Whether we're fixing hair.
Exactly.
Or fixing cars.
Without a doubt. And speaking of that, one of our most successful programs and high demand is the nursing program and also cosmetology. And then after that will come the automotive area. So, you know, you're right. It's going to be some things that are broke. Have you taken your car in lately and you saw the labor, not the parts,
right,
but the labor? It's ridiculous.
It is.
So I'm telling these young people, you know, you can make a lot of money as a mechanic, a lot of money as a cosmetologist, really. And speaking of that, we have some nights that we advertise sometimes to the public about bringing coming in, supporting this. You know, she takes them to New York once every other year. And what the experience they get, as a matter of fact, something that did not make the paper, I'm still working on this, get the girls to bring their trophies. There was a hair show about 2 weeks ago at the Brewer Complex over there. Our kids won first, second, and third place in that hair show. Hadn't made the paper yet.
Wow.
And so I'm working on trying to get that information out there. But, you know, just to show you that young people can do some things, really, if they put their mind to it.
Well, I think we have young people, you know, they're growing up so much faster.
Without a doubt.
And I think the other thing is they're actually being forced to make up their minds while they're in junior high and high school what they're going to do with their lives. So if one has the opportunity to be part of, to find out some things, this is invaluable training.
It really is. As a matter of fact, our Project Lead the Way program, the lower version of that would be called STEMS. You know, those people that are interested in the math and the engineering part of it. I understand that there was a pilot program for like sixth graders, and those kids right now will be rising eighth graders, trying to figure out a way to work them in some kind of way to experience what the POE, which would be the Principles of Engineering part, which would be the first level of the engineering course, because, hey, we need engineers, too.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So do you think kids should be having to make up their minds so early, though, Chuck?
No, not really. I think they're kids. And my junior at Lander had probably changed his major 4 or 5 times. But it's funny, though, what he has now, I'm not so sure. He's not headed toward youth ministry, but he's still thinking about business administration. And a month doesn't go by when he says, Dad, I'm not really not sure. I said, well, you pray. Because we're praying that he graduates.
You're praying that he gets out so you don't quit paying.
Without a doubt, because it's not free.
No, education isn't free, and I guess that's why we want kids to make up their minds so early. But one of the other things I understand is that now in today's world, we're looking at people that will be perpetually in school, that the career that you get when you graduate at 21, 22, or 25 will not be the career you'll be at 35.
Without a doubt, Ann, it's called lifelong learning.
Yeah.
We'll be in school the rest of our lives and hopefully learning something every day to make us better people and a better society.
That's right. So you better get the basic principles under your belt.
Without a doubt.
What do you think, now, as far as the type of programs that you have over there, what type of programs do we have? I mean, we've hit mm-hmm. the cosmetology and the auto mechanic and, transportation, distribution, and logistics.
Right, exactly. Well, Ann, right now we have five business teachers. Everything from the video production that goes along with, the Toy Story, the animation, what was that, Avatar, that
mm-hmm,
movie?
Right.
We actually pay for some students to go look at that animation because we purchased some high-end computers a few years ago, and they actually have the capability of doing some things like that. Ms. Hieronymus is our teacher with that. We have a web design, web publishing. We have a course that kind of goes unnoticed that every young person should be required to take when they enter high school, business and personal finance.
Yes.
Everybody needs to know how to handle money.
Exactly.
And so, we have that available for them, and the accounting class is a part of that cluster. But, then we leave there and we go to the hospitality. We spent $275,000 on that lab, and I know you've been over there to
mm-hmm.
see it,
right.
And it's second to none. And we have right now our afternoon class is made of about 10, 12 kids who actually want to go off to chef school. And she has done some real good things with culinary arts over there, so we're really excited about that program. Now, the cosmetology, we've talked about that, talked a little bit about the manufacturing. Now, the information and technology deals with the actual programming, the visual basic. We have 1 and 2 in that. I talked a little bit about the animation, but it just goes on, and I talked a little bit about the engineering. But we have some programs that we think, as a matter of fact, one of our pride and joys over the last few years, Ann, has been something somebody told us would never work. And that is the CNA, Certified Nursing Assistant.
Mm-hmm.
We had the regular health science courses, and now we have 1, 2, and 3, third level that go out with the clinicals. But these kids can come out there, take the state approved test, and actually leave high school and make $16, $17, $18 an hour as a certified CNA. Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful. Mm-hmm. Now, how many students can you actually serve at the G. Frank Russell Center?
Okay. Right now, Ann, if you look over the years, we've had anywhere from, since I've been there, we seldom have had less than 1,000 per semester. And that's a duplicated count. Somebody's taking 2 classes or whatever counts as one. But actually, we have right now about 900. We have had up to 1,500 kids. Because, see, it's a morning-afternoon session. Some of the classes, like I said, are double block. And then some of the classes, most of them are singletons, meaning you just come a period which lasts about 70 minutes because of the buses running. Can you believe, Ann, 23 bells ringing during the day?
23?
23 bells ringing. We got kids going and coming all over the place, but we're making it happen just because we're doing it for the right reason. That's to help young people.
Is there a bigger need for this program out there?
I think so. We haven't turned anybody away except in the programs that are state mandated. For example, I mentioned the CNA, health science. The state mandates that we can have only about 16 in that class. Cosmetology, the state mandate is 20. Early childhood, something that I failed to mention, they're getting actually teachers ready to go out into early childhood education to get an elementary ed degree, and they work with the nursing homes in the area. They work with the the daycares,
mm-hmm.
and what a great experience that is. As a matter of fact, Wesley Commons has been a real great supporter of our programs. It's just been a wonderful experience for those kids to go out there and get the clinical experiences with them.
Wow. So these are the type of things that you can find out more about if you go out there to the G. Frank Russell or give them a call. What's that number out there again?
941-5750.
So check out the G. Frank Russell. If you've got a student that just doesn't seem to really know what direction to go, it's your job as a parent to guide them to go in a direction, to at least check out these things. Don't sit there and watch them fail.
Exactly.
That's what we do too much of.
Without a doubt, Ann, and one of my favorite sayings on the intercom, I try to say it about once a week. We're not here to help you fail. We're here to help you succeed.
Absolutely. And wouldn't that be great if we did? Because it's all tough out there right now. Hey, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors. We'll be back in just a moment.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime, from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
You're with us at Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller. Our special guest is Chuck Graves, director of the G. Frank Russell Career Center. Here is your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are here with Chuck Graves. We just had a nice call come in from Doris Michaels. She's actually from Mississippi. She says she thinks it's wonderful you can provide these services and that you keep your instructors up to date so that they can teach. And she says she just loves your philosophy.
Well, thank you so much, and I certainly appreciate those kinds of comments. You know, we need that in public education. We really do.
We all do.
Yeah, without a doubt.
You know, it's the positive stuff that makes us get up and go every day, doesn't it?
Without a doubt. Keeps us going in the right direction.
Yes. So, you know, I know there has to be a lot of challenges, though. The budget issues and what is happening in education. How do you feel that the G. Frank Russell Career Center is positioned as we go forth?
I think right now, and with the support that we're getting, as a matter of fact, one of the reasons I did the luncheon, I just wanted to make sure everybody was on board with what we're doing out there. Too often we pour money into things and we wonder, well, where's the money going? But I'll never forget something on the way out the door, one of the county council people said to me, don't worry about it. You focus. We know what you're doing out here. We know it's a good thing, good programs.
Right.
We got your back. Now that was really an inspiration for me, just for somebody to say, in a position like that, to approve budgets,
right,
to say that, hey, we keep up the good work. And we all need a pat on the back. But, you know, Ann, we've lost about 4.5 teachers over the last couple of years. Programs, like I said, only one program, the landscaping part, has been completely eliminated. But thus far, we're able to keep the core classes intact. When I say core for us, those your bread-and-butter people, your health science, your carpentries, your the business administration people, your folk in technology. We've been able to keep those people intact. But I'm telling you, Ann, another cut here or there, we've been in a little trouble here. I'd be a little bit concerned. I come back from those meetings sometime, and I say to the faculty, listen, the sky is not falling. It may be getting dark, but it's not falling yet. So let's keep doing what we're doing.
Well, now, we were just talking off air about smart boards.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
oh, yeah.
And how did you handle getting smart boards for your place?
I'll tell you what happened. The district went out several years ago and purchased some smart boards, some Promethean boards, and we just looked for a sale. And my assistant then, Kate Smith, and I just kind of investigated it. And we went out and took some grant money and moved some money around in terms of our local plan that we do for the state, federal money. And we bought every teacher that wanted one. It ended up being about 16. We bought 16 smart boards, had them installed. But the most important thing we did, we went out and got the training. And
well,
we had
it doesn't do any good to have somebody if you don't know how to work it.
Without a doubt. So we had people coming in, and we update that training every year and kind of just make sure it's not just on the wall being used as something that they can use for a whiteboard to show videos or whatever the case may be. So it's really been a blessing for us. It really has. And then we have people also, and this doesn't hurt you, to have people that are not afraid of technology.
Well, you know, that makes a difference, too. Now, technology is the way to keep kids motivated in today's world.
Without a doubt. I'll tell you what, if we'll miss the boat if we're not doing some of the up-to-date things with technology and actually getting them to put their hands on some things, you're losing them. As a matter of fact, that's the carrot, to come out there and put your... I had a young man several years ago that said, Mr. Grace, I was about to drop out of school, but I love this place. I said, what do you mean? He said, I think you've saved my high school career. He said, because I can come out here and get dirty. Now, what young person will tell you that? I mean, he wanted to work, wanted to do something with his hands, because like you said, Ann, everybody's not built to sit in a classroom, you know, and that's the end result, just sitting there listening to somebody, taking notes or whatever. They want to get in and roll up their sleeves and get a little dirty every once in a while. So that's a great testimony to what we're doing out there.
It absolutely is. And, you know, the thing about it is, it wasn't very long ago, I want to say 3, maybe 4 years ago, that everybody thought that they would go to college, they'd come out and make $60,000, $70,000, $80,000
mm-hmm.
a year.
Mm-hmm.
Now reality has sunk in, and that's not happening.
Oh, without a doubt, and I'll never forget the look on my father's face. My father spent upwards of 44 years in the steel industry after he left the farms in Arkansas. And when I told him, Daddy, I don't think I can do the steel mill work. I was out there about 20 minutes and it almost killed me. I knew I had to go back to school and get an education. But actually, I was out there about a year and a half, saved enough money to go to school. But, you know, he took it kind of personally. You know, well, what are you going to do? And I said, well, Dad, the mill is fine. I said, but, you know, I need to work with my mind. I need to help somebody or whatever. So I got in as a math major, changed over to history, got into education, and just fell in love with helping young people. Yeah, but we no longer can. Well, and as a matter of fact, I have friends, Ann, a senior year in high school, that could leave that classroom, go to the mill at 4 o'clock, work from 4 to 12, and make as much money as they wanted to make.
But those days aren't here anymore.
No, they're not. And, you know, you find out something early in life that really helped me. Money and happiness is not the same thing.
Well, like that's true. That's true. Does help if you have some money, though. You can sure be a lot happier with a little money, folks.
Without a doubt. And hopefully we're putting our young people in a position so they can earn a living and be productive in society. And that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. So what do you think about, you know, one of my concerns is smartphones.
Okay. Yeah,
they're great.
Mm-hmm.
But do you worry that people will become less thinking?
Oh, without a doubt. And, you know, it scares me they can't spell. They have their own language with the texting and everything. As a matter of fact, you know, phones are basically banned in school. But I have probably 2 boxes full of them. The kids have gotten so smart now, and when we take them from them, they actually say, well, I'm not really concerned about it. I can report it as lost. I got the insurance, and they get another one. It's just,
wow.
It's really unreal. We have to, we were talking on the break. We have to rethink what we're doing. Now, if my visual basis or my programming person, for example, comes to me, say, Ms. Grace, listen, I got an activity that we can use our Blackberries or our smartphones, I say, go for it. Now, I wouldn't have said that several years ago, but we have to rethink what we're doing and think outside the box, so to speak, in terms of what kids should know and be able to do. If we can just turn some of that knowledge and energy they have in a positive direction. For example, my 21-year-old got interested in music before he graduated from high school. His dad, I'm so tired of all this negative rap stuff. He said, Dad, I want to do something with a gospel-type rap. Now, how many teenagers are into gospel rap?
Right.
And that's what he got into, and his message was the importance of accepting Christ in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So all I can say is hallelujah, go for it.
Yeah.
And so he cut a few little records with a fellow or whatever, and I still think, even though he's a business administration major, he may be headed toward youth ministry at some point in his career.
You know, it is good as a parent to be able to sit back and watch your children grow and develop, right?
It really is. It really, and the main thing about it, and back to what we talked about, parent involvement, I hope the message is getting out there, be involved in your child's life. That's the bottom line.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we've talked about, we've just been talking about smartphones, where they're taking us, what they're doing, you know, but I want to refer to general education, you know, since you've got kind of a corner on that specified market that mm-hmm. you deal in. What do you think we need to do in general education to tighten things up?
And I think really one of the things that we've got to do, you know, we talk about parent involvement, but we got to live it. We got to go out there. And I'll tell you something I did at Emerald, and I'll never forget this, and people are still talking about it. I got so frustrated with trying to get parents to come to the meetings or whatever, I actually took the meeting to them. I called a person in the housing authority area and said, listen, can I use your community area conference center or whatever? And so I was shocked at the number of grandparents and older people who were raising those kids.
Absolutely.
It blew my mind. The single parents out there, it was incredible. And I realized, wow, that's the problem. Where are the mothers? Where are the fathers that are behind these kids pushing them or whatever? And it was those older people that were actually raising these young kids. And it, like I said, it's sad in one way, but in another way, I'm glad I did it because I never would have known it.
Did that change your thinking on how to reach him?
It did. It really did. It made me a lot more patient and a lot more persistent. And then if you can see, we're talking about people that may have had, for whatever reason, they may have had a bad experience in public education. So they don't want to come to a school. And their first thing is, well, let me see what I can do to take the child's side to whatever the situation is. And I always start off the conferences with, Miss Jones, we want to see how we can help Johnny be a better person. We want Johnny to be successful in life. Because one day, you may not be around, and he's going to have to take care of themselves. Don't you want us to help you with that?
Or the flip side of this is, he's going to be taking care of you, and we want to make sure he's a success so he can help take care of you.
Without a doubt, and also put some Social Security in for us.
That's right. We talk about that on the I Love Ann Show. We want these kids to grow up and be successful so they can become taxpayers. The quicker, the better.
The quicker, the better.
Well, that is true. We just had a call from Dan Richardson. You know, Dan Richardson's on the school board.
Yeah, great.
And he just called in and said, you are his bright star of District 50.
Oh.
Well, how about that? Well, Dan Richardson.
Well, thank you.
Thank you
so much, Dan. I certainly appreciate that. And thanks for your support.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what it's about. You know, and as we look at budgets and things coming down, we need to make sure that we are changing our budgets up to reflect today's world.
Oh, without a doubt, Ann. You know, the day of frills is gone. You know, I never put down on something I really don't need. You know, people say, well, get together. I don't put together a wish list, and I never have. You know, but, you know, if I don't need it, I'm not going to ask for it. And whatever I do need, I'm going to say, hey, this is going to benefit children in the long run. It's not about me, not about the teachers. It's about the young people.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it certainly is a pleasure to have you back here. I always say this at the end, God, we got to have you back more often because I just get all inspired.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
And it is good to know that you are over there at the G. Frank Russell Career Center. You want to call, you want to find out more about it, just give them a call over there, 941-5750. That's 941-5750. I'm sure you've probably driven up Northside Drive, and you've seen that building off there to the, well, coming up on the left, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out.
Check it out.
You've got a personal invitation, don't they?
Without a doubt, and the door is always open.
That's right. This is WLMA right here in Greenwood. That's right. We've been talking to Chuck Graves. He is the director out there at the G. Frank Russell Career Center. Thanks so much for being here today, Chuck.
And thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you very much. This is WLMA right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, Andy.
Bye, Andy.